Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want as we launch here into hour number two of the program. The toll-free number for you is 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features we give to you, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Rolling right back into your phone calls. We're going to continue talking to Ken in Colorado. He called us up last hour, in case you're just tuning in, to tell us that, I don't know when it was. Was it last night, Ken?
Oh, yeah, I can recap.
You were, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd gone to take my mother to dinner in another state. We were on the way home from dinner, changing highways on the way home, and I was stopped and told that I had crossed the line and that my eyes were red, and I was given a field sobriety test, but it took about a half hour for the guy to get around to giving me the field sobriety test. And
You were standing out in 20-degree temperatures, and since all you were planning on doing was going out to dinner with your mom, you hadn't really dressed particularly warmly. You were not expecting a trek through the wilderness, and so you were cold. And to me, and I know there's more to your story, but to me, I believe that's torture. I mean, forcing somebody who's not appropriately dressed to stand out, I mean, forcing somebody to do anything is obviously a bad idea, but forcing them to stand in the elements that they are not prepared to endure is pretty awful.
I think so. And actually, after about 20 minutes, I did grab my jacket out of my car, and I didn't even think he noticed and put my jacket on. But I was still freezing because I'd been out there so long.
Sure, you lose all your heat. It's hard to get that back once you're out in the cold.
I put my gloves on and everything, and wasn't working too well. So he finally had me do the test, and he was pretty upset that he couldn't, prove that I was what I wasn't, which was inebriated in any way. It was starting to become clear that he was inebriated with power. And so these two other Blue Light gang members come, apparently from a different gang, but I don't know for sure. And they have a little chat before they get back to me, and I don't know how long that took, maybe about 5 minutes. Okay. Then the original gang member decided to talk to my mother, who was my passenger in a passenger seat. And he went over there and talked to her, and he said something that I didn't agree with, and I basically told him so, and I don't remember what it was at all. And at that point, I was confronted by another one of the Blue Light gang members who told me to shut up, and he got very much in my face.
Sure.
Not only did he come at me and tell me to stop it, but he also got into my personal space at the same time with his finger. And I told him, don't do that. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to take a swing at you, and I refuse to do anything violent. And he said,
good for you.
He said, you shut up, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, really, I know what you're trying to do. And he said, you say one more word, and I'm going to have you arrested.
Oh, jeez.
And I said, one.
Oh.
And he turned me around and started to put on the handcuffs, and I put my wrists together, behind my back, and he kept on repeating, put your hands behind your back, while my hands were behind my back, while they were together. I had them, my hands around each other, so I know they were together, behind my back, and he kept on repeating, put your hands behind your back.
Bizarre.
To the point at which I yelled to my mother through the window, you see my hands are behind my back, don't you? And at that point, I don't think he started trying to move my wrists in a place where they wouldn't go anymore. What I mean by that is, where they can't physically go.
Right, he was twisting you.
Yeah, he's trying to twist me, inflicting pain on purpose from what I could gather.
Sure.
And at that point, he stopped because I guess he thought maybe it was obvious, too, that there was an observer and that it was obvious that they were behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
And so they finished putting on the handcuffs, and they started to take me off to one of the cars. And then it occurred to me, well, there's no reason for me to help them abduct me. So I went limp.
Oh, wow.
And
that's really unusual, by the way. Most people would not do something like that, especially when faced with rogue cops who could, I mean, already they've shown a proclivity toward violence. It seems to me like by him saying over and over again, put your hands behind your back when they were already there.
Be prepared to have your butt kicked. I am covering my bases.
Right. He's essentially, if he's not on video camera at that point, I don't know where he was standing in reference to a camera that might have been mounted in a police car, but if he was not exactly on the video camera, then he could have been saying that to simply make it sound as though you were being disobedient, that you were attempting to resist his demands, and that that's the reason why he did whatever he was going to do, you know, smash your head into the side of the car.
He could do whatever he wanted to. There were three cops there. They were all going to testify that the perpetrator was belligerent, wouldn't follow instructions, wouldn't put his hands behind his back. They were all going to testify as though they could see everything, and they would lie.
So this was a really risky move going limp. What happened then?
So I went limp, and they told me to get up. And I ignored them. And then they said, stop resisting. And I said, I'm not resisting. I will not resist, and I will not assist. And he said, stop resisting. And I said, I will not assist, and I will not resist.
And, that's a great line.
And he said, well, this is not Colorado, he said. In Missouri, not assisting is interpreted as resisting.
Oh, I imagine they would interpret that like that in a lot of places.
Yeah. And I said, I will not assist, and I will not resist. Finally, I had the most fun I had at that point when they had a great deal of trouble picking me up and carrying me to the car.
The only problem is they can drop you.
Yeah, they did kind of drag me. So
especially with your hands cuffed behind your back, it'd be very difficult to land.
Yeah, really, they had nothing to grab me by. And so,
if they were to drop you, then that would be very difficult for you to land if you had your handcuffs behind your back. But
it would have, I'm sure. On the other hand, it would have been a nice case for police brutality if it exists anymore.
I
wouldn't hang my hat on that one.
Yeah, that would presume that they would be punished for being brutal to you, and I would expect anything like that.
And then you have to assume that. You're not in the line of their camera because, you know, if there's ever a lawsuit, the attorneys are going to get a copy of that camera from the car. And if you can't be seen within that range of that camera, then it's your word against theirs, and you know how that goes.
You know how many of those camera tapes have been, the footage has been lost?
Oops.
Whoa, we don't know what happened to it. Anytime.
And I think you're right about what they say to deceive the camera. Because I saw that in that other case with that guy that shot the cop back in New Hampshire, the first time he was abducted by the Blue Light Gang, they were saying stuff that he wasn't doing, and you could see it on the camera that they weren't, that
That's
he wasn't
scary.
Behaving that way. But anyway,
so they carried you.
They dragged me to the car, and then they told me to get in the car. And I said, I will not assist, and I will not resist.
Get it through your head, numbskulls.
Right. And then they said, get in the car or we'll mace you.
Oh, jeez.
And at that point, I decided, well, if they're willing to threaten violence,
of course
they're probably willing to do it.
Mm.
And so...
They would probably enjoy every moment of it, those sick, sadistic effers.
Right. So I got in the car... And then they went and talked to my mother before, and my mother told me after the fact that she played the hysterical mother on purpose because she wanted to kind of scare them into not, how should I put it? She wanted to make them feel little if they didn't already feel little, so they probably, you know, were less likely to beat me when they took me to the jail.
Mm-hmm.
So she played the hysterical mother on purpose, and... then they came back and they said, give me your keys. One of the cops said, give me your keys. And I ignored him. And, he said, oh, I'll just take them. And he took them and he took the keys off my belt. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's kind of funny because my keys in my pocket. My car key was in my pocket, I thought. Well, I was wrong. It wasn't in my pocket. It was actually on my belt. I had put it on my belt the second time after I had gone after my, my jacket. But anyway, so, they went and he stole the keys from me and gave them to my mother. And then he came back to me and he said, what we're going to do is she's going to drive your car to the police station and we're going to charge you with,
disorderly conduct,
failure to obey. They didn't even finish
That's basically disorderly conduct. I know you had more to say. I'm sorry, Ken. Hang on. We're going to bring you back. Hang on. More with Ken here in moments. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Did they charge him with anything else? What's the rest of the story? We'll find out. And take your calls about whatever you want. It's Free Talk Live.
The 57th running of America's legendary sports car endurance classic runs Saturday, March 21st at Sebring International Raceway. The Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Fresh from Florida, features the fastest race cars in the world. See Audi, Porsche, BMW, Corvette, Ferrari, and Mazda. The epic sports car battle of the year. And there's more. Live music, car displays, beach volleyball, the Boner Custom Rods Bikini Contest, and mixed martial arts exhibition fights. Gates open Wednesday, March 18th for 4 days of racing action, culminating with the big 12-hour classic on Saturday, March 21st. For tickets and information, visit SebringRaceway.com or call 800-626-RACE. Sebring, the biggest sports car race of them all, March 18th through the 21st.
In these uncertain times, safety and precaution are key. Don't rely on others for protection. Protect yourself and your family with products from PepperSpray.com. PepperSpray.com carries the largest assortment of pepper spray and personal safety devices on the web. From home safety to nighttime safety, we have the products you need. Order the Discreet Pepper Mace Baton, which relies on a powerful pepper formula that, upon direct contact with an attacker's eyes, forces them to slam shut, causing an intense burning sensation. This refillable unit is designed to be carried as a keyring, easily accessible pepper spray, and a defensive baton. PepperSpray.com is offering a special for all GCN listeners. Order the Pepper Spray Baton and receive a free refill cartridge. Please click the GCN category tab on our site for this offer. Visit us today at PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 800-908-9988. That's 800-908-9988.
Companies continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years. Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS Pepper Spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion Stun Gun is a great way to take down a potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want if you dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site we give to you, so enjoy those on us. And by the way, those features include live streams. Got a broadband version of the show, a dial-up version, and even a webcam, all completely free for you at freetalklive.com. Again, that's freetalklive.com. And by the way, I want to tell you that AdamEve.com has a special offer for you. You can go to AdamEve.com and get 50% off of one item when you type FTL in the offer code coupon checkout. Plus, with your order of $17 or more, they'll throw in a free gift. Get 50% off with offer code FTL at AdamEve.com. That's AdamEve.com. We continue with Ken in Colorado. Ken telling us a story about the police torturing and threatening and possibly setting him up for a beating after they pulled him over at the side of the road with his mother in the car, forced you to get out from the car, stand out in the cold temperatures, 20 degrees outside, stand out in a long-sleeve shirt while you waited 30 minutes to have them test you for sobriety, which you passed with flying colors because you're perfectly sober. They then you then said something to one of the cops. There was a little bit of back and forth. He told you to shut up and said if you said one more word that he would arrest you. You said one, he arrested you, and they threw you in the back of a cop car. You went limp. They attempted to accuse you of resisting. You pointed out you were not resisting. In point of fact, you were just not assisting them. Oh, and it was a brilliant little phrase. I will not assist, and I will not resist. What was it?
Resist and then assist.
That's correct.
Okay, and so they were trying to set you up, and it was
right.
Just an awful situation, and you were getting to the point in the story where they had taken your keys from you, given them to your mother, and they were saying they were going to have your mom drive the car. Where? Go ahead and continue. Pick up the story from there.
Okay. First of all, there's one small correction I want to make. It's not really a correction, but it's a clarification. I only said one thing ever to the cop that was talking to my mother. In other words, I didn't persist in interrupting. However,
yes.
I was accused later of persisting in interrupting.
Was that another crime?
No.
Oh, okay.
But my point being is that they falsified what happened, and I think that's important to them because saying one thing once that may have had something to do with anything real, in other words, before I was engaged by the other cop who was just standing around with nothing to do, I don't consider that good reason to get in my case.
Right, and told you to shut up, and you refused.
Right.
You wanted to continue discussing.
That's what I engaged the cop who had gotten in my personal space.
Right.
And told him, I know what you're trying to do, blah, 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 blah. And basically he challenged me to say another word, and I did. Because I don't believe in being treated that way.
Well, because these people believe that you are their servant and that you're their serf and that whatever they say, you must do. And that's why they ended up charging you, as you said, with failure to obey.
Yeah, now they put me in the car. They told me after they took my keys without my permission and gave them to my mother to drive, which must be illegal. I mean, they gave possession of my car to somebody else without asking me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, whatever they do is completely legal. See, it's their system.
So anyway, they told me what they're going to do is they're going to take me to the station, charge me with failure to obey. By the way, I still haven't been able to find the municipal code because they charged me an infraction under their municipal code, not under state code. And so
They didn't bother citing it? They didn't bother writing down the actual...
They put down a number, but I can't find it yet.
Very interesting.
You know, because it's a podunk town's code. Right? So
not even on the internet to receive.
Right.
I doubt it. I doubt it's even on the internet because it's some podunk town's personal municipal code. You know, all four of them have it. But anyway, so they put me in the car, told me they were going to do that. They drove me to the station. And like I said, I got in the car under threat of violence. They told me they were going to mace me. And so they got me to the station. They told me to get out. So the third cop is the one who drove me to the station. So there are three people involved. The first one completely disappeared somewhere in there. Then they drove me to the station.
Probably an attack of conscience.
I don't know. The third cop took me in and read me the Miranda warning. And he said, do you understand your rights, as I've read them to you? And I said, I assert my rights. And he said, what? And I said, I assert my right. And he said, do you understand your right?
So, hold on, you assert? Ken, you said
I assert my right.
Got it.
And he got louder, and he said, do you understand your rights as I've read them to you? And I said, I assert my rights.
Hey, I gotta say, just to interject here, the judge in the case, where they threw me in jail over my tenant's couch in their yard, I tried to use the "I do not understand" with him when he would ask me if I understood, and that really pissed him off.
Well, this guy really didn't like that he didn't know how to interpret my answer.
Yeah, he's used to
and
people saying yes.
I calculated it that way.
Sure, he's the only answer he's ever used to getting is yes to that question.
Right. And so. He said, I'm going to have to fingerprint you, and I let him fingerprint me without helping him or resisting, which was kind of fun because it didn't come out very good and took him a lot of trouble. At one point, he said, I could use a little less dead weight, ignored him.
Get a real job.
And so he fingerprinted me, and then the second cop, the one that caused the whole thing, in my opinion, well, you know what I'm saying. He escalated.
Yeah, the one that initiated the arrest.
Yeah, right. He came back in, and... the third cop told him I Mirandized him, and he said he understood his rights. And I said, no, I asserted my rights.
Wow.
And he said, well, it's the same thing. I said, no, it's not.
Wow.
So I decided I was going to talk about anything except what happened. That was the idea, right? So then the other cop said, what we're going to do is we're going to write you a ticket. And...
And
the ticket is for a civil infraction of failure to obey, and sign here. And I'm just going to look at him.
Jack Webb would be appalled.
Who? He said, what's that?
Gotcha.
I said Jack Webb would be appalled at these guys.
Oh, yeah, of course. He said, sign here, and I kind of looked at him. And he said, sign here. And
need your consent. Please consent
said, well,
to our system.
Well, here's the thing. I said, well, what if I don't? And he said, we'll hold you for court.
Yes.
And then I remembered somebody else who had been held for court in Missouri. Actually, it wasn't Missouri. It was near Kansas City.
Okay.
On the other side of the state line. But he was beaten.
Oh, my.
And I thought, well, you know, they've already threatened to abuse me. They've already threatened to imprison me. And I figure if I can escape now, I'm better off to decide what to do later.
So how did you sign
it? Under threat of being imprisoned, I signed it, and I totally forgot about any of the things I could have done besides signing it.
You didn't write under duress?
I didn't write anything.
All rights reserved.
However, I will point out all the time that I was threatened with abuse and threatened with imprisonment on and off.
What's next? Is there more to this story, Ken?
There's a little bit more.
Hang on, we're going to bring it back. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Arrested, threatened. Just a typical day in the police force. Typical another case of abuse, except this time it's one of our listeners. 800-259-9231. You have a story to share? It's Free Talk Live.
What will you do when the economy collapses, store shelves are empty, and your stored food is gone? How will you feed your family? True self-sufficiency and peace of mind is being able to grow a wide range of crops, ensuring a well-balanced diet for your family. GetSeeds.net is offering 100 different varieties of GM-free vegetable seeds for only $49 with free shipping. You get over 14,000 seeds for only $49. We offer a complete range of seeds, including heirloom tomatoes, old-fashioned beans, carrots, sweet corn, peppers, cucumbers, celery, broccoli, onions, cauliflower, asparagus, spinach, melons, and a whole lot more. This is one of the finest, most affordable seed offers that is on the market today. Variety in your garden means a diverse and healthy diet for your family year-round. So go to GetSeeds.net or call 1-877-394-6657. Supplies are limited, so order today. That's GetSeeds.net or 1-877-394-6657.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple, fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You bring up anything via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features we give to you, enjoy them on us. Those other talk show hosts, they want to charge you for accessing their websites. Ours is free, including features like the Shrine of Female Listeners at shrine.freetalklive.com. So enjoy at freetalklive.com.
Are you thinking about starting a business? Here's a word to the wise. Incorporate at LegalZoom.com. Incorporation can help protect you against frivolous lawsuits that could wipe you out. LegalZoom.com is fast and easy. They do all kinds of legal documents, patents, wills, trademarks. Use code FTL to save $10 off of your order at LegalZoom.com.
We go back
FTL.
We go back to Ken in Colorado. Ken telling us a story about what happened yesterday as you were arrested, as you were threatened, as you were harmed, as you were tortured by the police in a small town near Kansas City, Missouri. You were charged essentially with a so-called crime of failure to obey, and the reason for it was because some police officer told you to shut up when you'd corrected one of them on something he apparently misstated, and you continued to discuss things with the other officer, the one that told you to shut up. Then the officer threatened you again and said if you say one more word, he was going to arrest you, which is the same threat that Judge Burke here in Keene made against me in his courtroom. In this case, you said one more word, and they threw you in the back of a police car, took you to the station, and they charged you with this so-called crime of failure to obey, which, as you say, you tried to dig up information on, and you couldn't even find anything. So
it still happened, yeah.
Where do we leave this story off? What's the rest of the story?
So what happened is, he gave me this paperwork, and he told me to sign it, and then we discussed what would happen if I didn't sign it. And he said I'd be held in custody for court. And I remember the other another listener you have that was that was the one that was in the Kansas City area. Another listener you have who was arrested and beaten in jail in the Kansas City area, and I didn't want to press my luck that far since I was so far relatively unharmed.
I have to say that your performance in this particular event was absolutely amazing. And
we should have been better, but I guess I have to accept that it was better than average.
Right. So yeah. Go ahead and continue there.
So anyway, I decided to escape and when allowed to, and I went ahead and signed under duress without remembering that I should have somehow indicated that it was under duress on paper. And I took my ticket, and I asked him, "Well, how much is the fine on this?" And he said, "Oh, I don't know." And they had a fine schedule right on the wall, and I found it, and it was $275. But anyway, after I signed it, he was so nice because I complied.
Sure, he's your buddy now.
Suddenly he got all paternalistic on me and started talking about how he didn't want to do it and about how, you know, all this crockin'. I can't say it, but anyway.
Well, you forced him to, Ken.
I love you, man.
Yeah. You forced his hand by your saying one word to him in response to what he said to you.
And then he lied again. He said, well, you know, your eyes are red and dilated. The funny thing is not a single cop stuck the flashlight in my eyes at all. You don't know if somebody's eyes are dilated unless you put light in their eyes.
Gotcha.
So he lied again. And
at this point,
that I had persisted in interrupting the other cop.
So at this point, you're getting ready to leave as he's telling you this lie.
Right. He told me the lie, and of course, at this point, you know, I'm looking to get out. And so I leave, and my mother is waiting at the door, and the guy comes out, and he starts chatting with my mother. It's like he can't. He feels guilty now.
Yeah, why don't you come over and have dinner with us now?
Right. Now he feels guilty. He wants absolution. So he chats us up for another couple minutes, and we finally leave. And that's really, I wanted to tell that bit about how it made it better for him, and it probably made him feel bad once the thing was, you know, quote-unquote resolved. Of course, it's resolved in such a way that they intend to get money out of me.
Sure.
And I'm still not sure what I intend to do about that. First thing I'm thinking about doing is writing the court a letter along the lines of, if I don't hear from this in 14 days, I'll consider it resolved.
Well, that doesn't, I mean, they're going to come after you. I mean, if you don't go to the court date that they've scheduled, you'll get a failure to appear charge, and then they're going to come to your house, Ken.
Well, remember, there's another dynamic here. It's in another state, and it's not a
That's true. That's an interesting point.
I've got to find out what all could happen based on what all I might do. I figure in a worst case situation, I'll probably send. So I don't break any federal laws. What I'll probably do is I'll probably have a relative in the state FedEx them the cash in a container that's very hard to open, which is something I've done before. But if you cross state lines, who knows, you might break a federal law.
So, Ken, what's it going to take to get you up here to New Hampshire? It sounds like you're a great activist, and we could really use great activists here in New Hampshire. I mean, at least up here, you'd be backed up by other people that would come to court with you or back you up. You could make a phone call to the activists on the Pork 411 network and record the stop and let people know where you are, and they could come out to show up at the jail on a moment's notice in some cases. So what would it take to get you out here?
Well, there are three issues. Oh, well, there was one other thing I didn't mention, and I will answer that question. I want to answer that question. And that was that I told the cop when he came up with that line about having my eyes being red and dilated, I told the cop, I've been told three times on a traffic stop that my eyes were red, and that two of them were in Missouri, and I don't even live there.
Very interesting.
The first time was when they made me hang around for a drug dog to run around my car.
Ken, it's obvious that the arresting officer was not very professional in his treatment of you. But I'm just
wondering... that was another thing. Yeah, I told the angry officer, I guess you could call one the third officer, one the one that started it, and the other one the angry one. I told the angry one afterward, you know, I reached into the car and got my jacket while I was waiting for my sobriety test after about 20 minutes of freezing.
Mm-hmm.
and he never checked it for a weapon.
You could be dead now
if I was a violent person.
So you actually got to wear the jacket into the jail. You could have just blasted away.
Yeah. I was never checked for weapons.
But, Ken, if you go back, though, if you rewind this whole thing right to the beginning, that first interaction with the cop, how do you think maybe you could have made it happen a little differently that maybe wouldn't have been so drawn out?
I'm not really sure because I decided when I was told that I had no right to speak, even outside of relationship of the cop that was speaking with my mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was the only quote-unquote official business that was going on.
Well, I'm talking about rewinding right to the very first interaction when you first pulled over, the cop came up to the window. Because here's what I think, that a lot of people, they have a preconceived notion about cops. And the cops feel that. And I think they feed on that sometimes. And so my only point is, I agree with you, I think they were very unprofessional. But sometimes you can avoid some of that by just reacting a little differently to them and not showing them that you might not trust them completely.
I think the first cop was inexperienced and intimidated because one of the things I did when he got me out of the car, and it had taken a while, I said, am I free to go?
Most people don't do that.
And then he said, no. And I said, so I'm under arrest. And he said, no. And I said, so I'm free to go. And he said, no. I said, so I'm under arrest.
What do I do now, Lieutenant?
Right.
All right, so Ken, quickly, we got to get to this last question here. When can we get to New Hampshire?
There are three issues with that. One of them is I'm not sure I eat the dog food yet. The second issue is I've got a wife who's not libertarian enough to do anything for liberty, so it's tough. And then the third one is I'm planted here with my job.
Let me know how this works out. It's an interesting situation, and I'm glad you didn't get hurt too badly in the process. And will you follow up with us when this all wraps up and tell the rest of the story at that time?
I'll try to keep up.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate hearing from you. Very interesting story and really good technique, I think, on his part in a lot of cases. I will not resist, and I will not assist. I love that line. 800-259-9231. And, of course, the am I under arrest thing is great, or am I free to go, rather. Both of those are great questions to ask cops. More on the way, you bring up whatever you want. Your thoughts on this or anything. Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect to your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlite can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlite is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlite comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
SouthSummit.com is the place for top name brand knives such as Kershaw, Spyderco, Cold Steel, Gerber, K-Bar, Boker, Leatherman, and more. South Summit has one of the largest selections of self-defense products on the web. Knives, stun guns, police batons, pepper spray, LED flashlights, emergency kits, binoculars, and tactical gear are just some of the great products found on SouthSummit.com. Receive discounted prices on camping and preparedness products from Camelback, Kelty, and Eureka. Check out our water store. Storage barrels, water purification systems, and Mountain House freeze-dried foods that have a 30-year shelf life. Keep an eye on your family and keep them safe with our do-it-yourself spy camera systems. Mention that you heard this ad on the radio and you'll receive a free LED flashlight with your order. Visit SouthSummit.com. That's South Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, SouthSummit.com. Or call toll-free 1-800-234-8654. That's 1-800-234-8654.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Bring up anything if you dial toll-free 800-259-9231. The number brought to you by our friends at SACL CAI. It's 1-800-259-9231, and it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, the features we give to you, so enjoy those on us. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become an amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We take that money in and reinvest it into the program, getting on as many radio stations around the country as we possibly can, and helping spread the word of freedom as far and as wide as possible. You can head over to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more. Get signed up with any major credit card, PayPal, or some alternate options. Again, amp.freetalklive.com. Oh, and you get perks like access to the AmpliLink call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. All the details at amp.freetalklive.com. Let's continue taking your phone calls about anything and talk to Rob in Arkansas. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Guys?
Hey, what's on your mind
guys,
tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Wow. That must have been the longest call y'all have ever taken.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, you know, I bet you'd have a riot if you recorded the conversations people end up having with themselves when they're on hold. Because this is the first time I've called a radio show, so I was pretty nervous at first and talking to myself, practicing my question, laughing at myself. And so it was good to hold on, so I got to relax a little bit. But
pretty
I've
good,
got... I've been listening to you guys for probably 2 years now. Mm. I really enjoy the show. You've really made me I wonder how much impact your show has that you guys don't even realize.
That's a good question, isn't it?
I think about that while I'm working sometimes because, you know, I'll hang out with some associates of mine and talk about, you know, I'll just start saying things that are really foreign to them, like, excuse me, I'm not part of the we you were referring to.
Yeah, yeah, it was like really? Today when I was listening to some of the speeches at this rally that was going on, and somebody said, our leaders are blah, 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 and I'm thinking, they're not my leaders.
Yep, I felt like I was kind of, I don't want to sound like a parrot and parrot other people, but I really feel like I own that kind of thinking to myself now.
Let me pause you right there for a moment. First of all, that's all we all do, really. I mean, how many people have original thoughts?
Yeah, original thoughts aren't real common. You just pick the ones you like.
Right, I pick the ones I like, and I talk about them on this radio show, so they're not my thoughts originally. They're somebody else's, like Harry Brown or Dr. Mary Ruart, and inevitably they learned them from, you know, from other people that came before them, so.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you another little detail is, I ran for office this last election as a Ron Paul Republican.
Hmm.
I about 10,000 people voted in the election, and I lost by 109.
Wow!
So the reason I bring that up is because my positions when I signed up to run for office completely were in questionable by the time the election came around because, I mean, your show had really affected the way I thought about things, you know. Spending other people's money, having the right to spend their money. I felt it was...
A lot of things you'd taken for granted you felt completely different about by the end of the election, huh?
I was kind of appalled by it, really. Honestly, it just... I felt like who would want to control other people's money, you know? What kind of person is drawn to this? Or what they can and cannot do with their lives, you know? The floating point of freedom is a term I've kind of came up with.
Very cool.
For the committee... floats the point, you know, oh, this is reasonable. Oh, well, you know, the people are so dumb and they're so, they need us. You know, we'll just float a little more authority here and freedom back that way and, you know, that kind of thing. So
absolutely.
Having said that, I did call in with some questions, though. I was in the shower and I had an aha moment. And
that's when they happen, right?
Yeah, I love those.
Yeah.
My first one was when I was 13, but we won't get into that.
Being naked helps.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the arguments that I get in with some of my statist friends is, you know, I'll start saying, you know, I'm not part of this we, and, you know, feel free and do that if you want, but just don't come to my house with a gun and, you know, punish me for not drinking the Kool-Aid kind of statements,
sure.
Right? And so the thing is that I think what happens is a guy like me who goes on this mental odyssey, you know, it's like, I guess you can maybe take it too far, and I guess you find yourself in a room where you're, like, by yourself, and you're looking around you, and you're saying, nobody will ever tell me how to do anything, think anything at all, in any way, shape, or form, get away from me, and, you know, a real obstinate kind of position like that, and, you know, I'm not sure what I think about that. I'm still learning, but let me get to my question. I think this
sure.
addresses it somewhat well. Okay, let's say that we live in a land that, a perfect libertarian world in a sense, that has a loyal title that is so loyal we don't even have titles. You know, it's like, who would issue the paper ourselves? If we want to write our own, that's our own business. There's no apparatus to issue a piece of paper. That's how I'm talking about. So
a loyal title meaning that you actually own your land and no governmental bureaucrat has the ability to do anything to you as a result.
Yes, sir. What we're, you know, America is supposed to be the only country that has that, by the way.
Yes.
But it's, you know, we, as you guys talk about all the time.
So, with that in mind.
See how true that is. Yeah, we all own land, and I do something on my land to pollute it. And it stays within my borders of my land. No one's harmed by it. There are no victims. I know, and you know, and everyone knows, that one day, that pollution will get outside of my property, but it will be after we have died and gone away.
Maybe. You can't really say that, but maybe.
Well, let's just say in this scenario, we know it will. It's just a matter of physics. It will eventually happen. Everyone in the world knows it. I know it. Do I have a duty? Do I have a responsibility to anyone outside of the border of my property? And remember, though, it will pollute the outside of my property border, and
okay.
I will die, and you will too before it happens.
Yeah, I think that this is a very good question. Like, let's say that somebody takes nuclear waste. That sounds awful, doesn't it? And they put it in some kind of container that it will go through at some point.
Okay.
I don't know, 50-gallon barrels. At some point, it's going to go through 50-gallon barrels, I would assume rather quickly. But these are good 50-gallon barrels, and they'll last 100 years, right?
Got it.
Are you with me?
Yeah. Oh, I'm listening. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So let's
say it's Rob.
Is it Rob? I'm sorry. So assume I'm across the galaxy and I shoot at you with a very accurate gun. It takes 100 years for that bullet to cross the galaxy and hit you. I guess
it's possible.
I guess for some reason I hate you in the future. Okay, because you would not have been born yet, and I'm dead. Right, so there's nothing that can be done with me. However, have I murdered you?
What if I was your grandfather? No, go ahead. Sorry. No, don't want to lose track. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. Well, that's the question: is have I murdered you? I mean, I'm dead.
Oh man.
Yeah, I have. I mean, so what you've done is, at this point, is you've threatened the people in the future. You have aimed a gun at them. I mean, they're going to, it's not a gun that's going to kill them in the same way, but, you know, it's going to damage their property. Yes, you are responsible for, you know, having that mess cleaned up.
To whom? And does somebody have a right in here? Is there a right, you know, here's my right, here's your right?
whom I'm responsible to.
I think that the heirs of the people who are in the immediate vicinity. Now, are you saying the world's going to be polluted, or just the immediate vicinity is going to be polluted?
Either or is fine.
Okay, I said the heirs, but the people that are would have those heirs. I don't know what those people would be, but the parents or the grandparents of the people who would be damaged by whatever it is you're doing. So, yes, if you put nuclear waste in containers that doesn't properly seal it on your property, and I have the property next door, I think I've got a claim against your. Against what you've done to my property in the future.
You may have a claim, and it would really ultimately depend on what the arbiters would say about it and what the experts would have to say about, well, is your claim valid? Will these containers leak? Is there anything to actually prove that it would be the case? And, of course, we're also presuming you would know, Mark, that he was burying these things on his property.
Well, I mean, he's bringing the question
sure,
to me.
Sure.
I can't answer if I don't know.
Everyone knows. That's why we have a problem. It's because everybody's aware of this.
Yeah, well, first I'd like more information. For one, do your neighbors know about this, or is this something
you don't know? Everybody is aware.
Okay, because the first thing I would do if I were neighbors, I'd probably talk to you about it in a friendly way, like Ian's neighbor didn't, and say, hey, listen, I know it's not a problem now, but have you thought about the future and try to talk it over with you and maybe persuade you gently without any conflict or without any arbitration? Sometimes that's enough to work, especially if you have a good relationship already. Now, if you're totally obstinate, then I might have to call arbitration in to resolve the conflict, but in arbitration, they may find against you. So how would you react to that?
Well, okay, arbitration would be a governing body that we all agree to at some point, right?
Yeah, it would be something you'd have an incentive to agree to, because if you didn't, then you would be obstinate, and you would have your reputation damaged pretty heavily, and people might not want to deal with you after that.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm going to have to think about this to come back about it, but as far as I'm, the way I hear it right now, and just so you know, I'm pro-freedom, I'm pro-liberty, and I don't want to be having a gun pointed at me for anybody else's opinion, but it doesn't seem like it's a complete answer to me.
Well, the free marketplace isn't going to be a 100% perfect utopia. That is for sure. But it is the best way for mankind and the most humane way for mankind to interact with his fellow man. I thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. Hour 3 is coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.